Welcome to Base by Base, the papercast that brings genomics to you, wherever you are. Thanks for listening, and don't forget to follow and rate us in your podcast app. Imagine you live in a heavily guarded city, like a massive metropolis that relies entirely on an electrical grid to keep the lights on and, you know, keep the citizens alive.
Right, a city that needs constant power.
Exactly. But here is the catch. This city doesn't actually manufacture its own power plant parts. It has to import them. Every single day, these specific, highly trained inspectors at the city borders check the imported turbines, the heavy machinery, ensuring they safely cross the border and get installed in the grid.
Okay, I follow you.
Now, ask yourself, what happens if the specific inspector responsible for bringing in, like, the most critical parts of that biological power plant suddenly vanishes? How could a single missing microscopic piece cascade into a systemic, catastrophic blackout for the entire city?
Okay, let's unpack this, because today we are taking a deep dive into what happens when this exact scenario plays out inside human cells.
It's a terrifying thought, honestly. Right. And right now, as you are listening to this, millions of these tiny border inspectors are working in your own body, ensuring your brain and muscles have the energy to function.
That is such a remarkable visualization, and I mean, it cuts right to the heart of cellular energy. When we talk about a cellular blackout in this deep dive, we are looking directly at the mitochondria.
The classic powerhouse of the cell.
Yeah, exactly. We all learn that in basic biology. But what is often left out of that textbook definition is the sheer logistical nightmare required to keep them running. If the microscopic import machinery that brings the actual physical components of that power plant inside stops working, well, the entire system collapses.
Wow. And to get into how we know this, today we celebrate the work of Mathieu Mandekon, Agnès Rotig, and the multi-institutional team at Institut Imagine Université Paris-Cité, who have advanced our understanding of mitochondrial diseases and protein import machineries.
Absolutely. The clinical and molecular detective work they have published here is genuinely profound. They managed to bridge a deeply tragic clinical reality with an elegant molecular explanation. It fundamentally changes our understanding of how these cellular power grids fail.
Yeah, and to truly grasp the magnitude of what this research team uncovered, we really need to understand the landscape they were navigating. I mean, mitochondrial disorders are essentially a geneticist's labyrinth.
That is a perfect way to put it.
They have this immense clinical and genetic heterogeneity, meaning a defect in the mitochondria can look completely different from one patient to the next. One person might have muscle weakness, another might have seizures, and another might experience total liver failure.
Right. The symptoms are just all over the map.
Exactly. And these diseases can be caused by mutations in hundreds of different genes.
Yeah. And the reason for that staggering complexity becomes clear if we connect this to the bigger picture. You have to look at the evolutionary backstory of our biology.
Oh, I love this part.
Right. Billions of years ago, mitochondria were actually free-living bacteria just swimming around in the primordial soup, and they were swallowed up by our cellular ancestors in this symbiotic relationship.
So they just moved in?
Basically. The host cell provided nutrients and a safe harbor, and in exchange, the bacteria generated massive amounts of energy. But over evolutionary time, those bacteria handed over the vast majority of their genetic instruction manuals, like their DNA, to the host cell's central nucleus.
I always find that evolutionary trade-off fascinating. The mitochondria essentially outsource their entire manufacturing division to the host cell's nucleus.
Highly efficient, but risky.
Yeah, very risky. Because while it is highly efficient for the cell to keep all the blueprints in one central library, it creates a massive supply chain vulnerability. Human mitochondria only have a tiny scrap of their own DNA left.
Which means they rely almost completely on proteins that are encoded in the cell's main nucleus, right?
Exactly. They're manufactured out in the cell's cytoplasm, and then they have to be physically imported across those heavily guarded mitochondrial borders.
Precisely. The mitochondria cannot build their own power generators from scratch. They are entirely dependent on that import supply chain. And if the supply chain breaks, the energy stops.
Simple as that.
Yeah. Now, the specific supply chain pathway this research zeroes in on is called the MIA pathway. That stands for the mitochondrial import and assembly pathway. Physically, it sits right in the intermembrane space of the mitochondria, so the gap between its outer and inner walls.
Okay, got it.
And the star player of this pathway is a protein called CHCHD4.
CHCHD4.
So that is our border inspector from the heavily guarded city analogy.
Yes, exactly. And its job is highly specialized. CHCHD4's main function is to grab specific small proteins that contain the amino acid cysteine.
And what do those imported proteins look like when they arrive?
When they enter the mitochondria, they are basically unstructured and floppy. They don't have a shape yet.
Mm-hmm.
So CHCHD4 uses a chemical relay system to fold them properly into their functional 3D shapes.
Oh, so it physically molds them. Yeah, effectively pulling them into the mitochondria and locking them in place. And these specific proteins include the vital subunits needed to build what we call OXPHOS, Complex I, and Complex 4.
Okay, let's clarify OXPHOS for anyone who might be, you know, rusty on their cellular biology. OXPHOS stands for oxidative phosphorylation. That is the literal electrical grid of the cell.
Right, the real powerhouse mechanism.
Exactly. It uses the oxygen we breathe to strip electrons from the food we eat, passing them down a chain like a bucket brigade to create a chemical battery charge. And that ultimately produces ATP, the cellular energy currency.
Hmm.
Complex I and complex 4 are the massive molecular turbines driving that whole process.
That is an excellent breakdown. Okay. Without complex I and 4, oxidative phosphorylation just grinds to a halt. The cell completely loses its ability to generate meaningful amounts of energy.
So what does this all mean for a patient when this import fails?
Well, when CHCHD4 fails to import the parts for those turbines, the result in a human being is just devastating. Which brings us to the deeply tragic clinical reality at the center of this paper.
Yeah, this was a tough case to read about.
It really was. The researchers investigated the case of a pediatric patient, a little boy born to completely healthy parents. Almost immediately after birth, he presented with severe lactic acidosis.
Which basically means because his cells couldn't use oxygen to make energy via the mitochondria, they panicked, right?
Exactly.
They switched to a backup, really inefficient energy system that produces a massive amount of lactic acid. His blood became dangerously acidic, and he also had hypoglycemia and acute liver dysfunction.
Right. His systems were crashing. But his medical team managed to stabilize his blood sugar, and remarkably, his liver function actually recovered in those first few days of life.
Wow, so the liver bounced back.
It did. But stabilizing the immediate symptoms did not resolve the underlying systemic energy crisis. The demand for energy in a developing human body is immense, particularly in the brain.
Oh, of course. Neurons are power hungry.
Very. Neurons require vast amounts of ATP just to maintain their basic electrical signaling, let alone to build new pathways for learning and motor skills.
And that energy starvation led to a catastrophic turning point at 9 months of age.
Right. Sadly, yes.
The patient suffered a severe neurological regression. He lost the motor skills he had previously acquired. He developed terrible dystonia, which are these involuntary, really painful muscle contractions.
Yeah, it's heartbreaking.
And when neurologists took MRI scans of his brain, they found hypersignals, essentially bright spots indicating severe tissue damage in the white matter and the cerebellar peduncles, which are the brain's critical communication highways. Tragically, he passed away at 11 months of age.
Yeah. Faced with a clinical presentation that clearly pointed to a mitochondrial collapse, the medical team naturally looked at the mitochondria's own tiny instruction manual first.
Because that's the obvious culprit.
Exactly. But all the standard genetic tests for mitochondrial DNA came back completely normal. The local generators weren't the problem. The flaw had to be hidden somewhere in the massive centralized instruction manual in the cell's nucleus,
mm-hmm.
the main supply chain.
But finding a single genetic typo among the 20,000 genes in the human nucleus is, I mean, that's a daunting task.
Talk about a needle in a haystack.
Seriously. So the research team turned to whole exome sequencing, or WES, analyzing the DNA of the family trio, the mother, the father, and the patient. And just to define that for our listeners, the exome is the specific 1-2% of our DNA that actually codes for proteins.
Right, skipping the junk DNA.
Exactly. We aren't reading the vast non-coding spaces of the genome. We are zooming straight in on the actual instruction manuals for the cellular machinery.
And using whole exome sequencing was the critical pivot here. By comparing the parents' DNA to the child's, they uncovered a biallelic condition.
Meaning two errors.
Yes, meaning the specific gene responsible was hit by two distinct genetic errors, one inherited from each parent.
The genetics here are just fascinating to me. It's like trying to build a complex machine, but the instruction manual you got from mom has a whole chapter ripped out, and the manual from dad has a crucial typo on page one.
That is a brilliant way to explain it.
Because the mother passed down a massive deletion, we are talking about up to 255 kilobases of genetic code completely missing. It wiped out her entire copy of the CHCHD4 gene and even chunks of the neighboring gene, TM43.
A huge chunk of data, just gone.
But wait, if mom is missing a whole chapter, why is she completely healthy?
Well, it comes down to a fundamental concept called haplosufficiency. For many genes in our genome, having just one good working copy from your other parent is quote-unquote sufficient to make enough protein to keep the cell functioning perfectly.
Oh, I see.
The mother had a massive deletion on one chromosome, but her second chromosome contained a highly efficient, perfectly normal CHCHD4 gene. That single good copy compensated entirely for the missing one, preventing her from having any symptoms of mitochondrial disease.
Okay, that makes sense. But the son wasn't so lucky. He inherited that total blank, that ripped out chapter from his mom. So we had zero CHCHD4 production coming from that side.
Nothing at all.
And from his dad, he inherited a completely different type of error. The father didn't have a deletion. He passed down a tiny missense mutation, a single letter change in the DNA code known as CTOIT5C to T.
Just one letter.
Yeah, and this microscopic typo caused a single amino acid substitution in the final protein structure. A serine was swapped out for a phenylalanine at position number 2.
And that single substitution is all it takes to completely dismantle the protein.
Hmm.
To understand why, the researchers utilized AlphaFold.
AlphaFold, the AI system.
Yes, the revolutionary AI system that predicts three-dimensional protein structures. AlphaFold has completely transformed structural biology because it allows us to visualize how a linear string of amino acids folds into a complex, functioning 3D machine.
And what did the AI reveal about this specific swap from serine to phenylalanine?
Well, it provided a crucial mechanical insight.
Yeah.
AlphaFold predicted that in a normal CHCHD4 protein, the serine at position 2 forms vital hydrogen bonds with another amino acid, aspartic acid, over at position 19. These hydrogen bonds act like a molecular zipper, tightly locking a specific beta hairpin structure into place.
A zipper. I like
it. Right. But phenylalanine is a bulky, hydrophobic molecule. By swapping the serine for that massive phenylalanine, the mutation essentially breaks the zipper. The amino acids repel each other, the structure cannot fold properly, and the entire protein becomes fundamentally destabilized.
Wow. It's like replacing a sleek zipper tooth with a jagged rock. You just can't close the mechanism anymore.
Exactly.
But here is where I have to play devil's advocate. AlphaFold is an incredibly powerful AI, but it is ultimately, you know, a computer simulation.
Fair point.
You cannot walk into a genetics clinic and definitively tell a grieving family that an algorithm solved their son's case. You have to prove that this structural destabilization actually causes the cellular power grid to fail in living human tissue. So how did the research team bridge that gap from silicon to biology?
Yeah, that is the most critical hurdle in any genetic investigation. And they cleared it using a classic, robust technique called functional complementation. They took actual skin cells, fibroblasts, from the patient and grew them in the laboratory.
Okay, growing the patient's cells.
Then they utilized lentiviral particles. These are essentially modified viruses that have been stripped of their ability to cause disease.
So they're safe.
Right, completely safe. Instead, researchers used the virus's natural ability to penetrate cell walls and inject genetic material to deliver a healthy, wild-type CHCHD4 gene directly into the patient's cells.
Oh, that's clever. They basically hijacked a virus to act as a delivery truck, flooding the diseased cellular city with thousands of healthy, fully functioning border inspectors.
Yes, and to measure if this rescue mission actually worked, they didn't just look at one or two biomarkers. They employed global proteomics to map the entire cellular landscape.
Which means looking at all the proteins.
They quantified over 8,200 individual proteins using mass spectrometry to see the exact cascading effects inside those cells.
That is a massive amount of data.
It is. And the biochemical data they pulled from those cells was striking. First, looking at the patient's untreated fibroblasts, the global proteomics confirmed that the overall levels of the CHCHD4 protein were drastically reduced.
Because of that broken zipper?
Exactly.
Hmm.
The father's mutated copy wasn't just shaped poorly, it was so unstable that the cell's own waste disposal systems were likely degrading it rapidly. And because that border inspector was missing, the proteomics showed a catastrophic loss of the subunits required to build OCHPHOS complex I and complex OFFEN.
The core generators literally couldn't be built. The heavy machinery was stuck outside the mitochondria, or I guess it was degrading into useless pieces before it could be assembled.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. But the definitive proof came from the treated cells. When they used that lentiviral delivery truck to add the healthy CHCHD4 back into the patient's fibroblasts, the entire system rebooted. It successfully restored the missing complex I and VIV proteins, and it fixed the assembly defects. The biochemical power grid came back online. This proved, beyond any shadow of a doubt, that the biallelic defects in the CHCHD4 gene were the root biological cause of the patient's fatal disease.
It is an incredibly elegant experimental design. You break the system, you observe the crash, and then you inject the specific missing code to watch the system repair itself.
It really is beautiful science.
But delving into that massive proteomics data set, you know, those 8,200 quantified proteins, is where the researchers were thrown a fascinating biological curveball. We established that the proteins which plummeted in the patient's cells were overwhelmingly mitochondrial. But CHDHD4 doesn't just import power plant turbines, does it?
No, it doesn't.
It has secondary functions, it has side hustles.
It does, and its resume is surprisingly diverse. What's fascinating here is that beyond importing the machinery for oxidative phosphorylation, CHDHD4 is also responsible for exporting iron-sulfur clusters out of the mitochondria and into the main cellular fluid, the cytoplasm.
Okay, so it exports things too.
Yeah. Now, why does it matter? Because these iron-sulfur clusters act as vital cofactors for cytosolic enzymes that regulate the cell's overall iron homeostasis. Furthermore, CHDHD4 physically interacts with another protein called AIFM1. Which manages cellular apoptosis, or, you know, programmed cell death.
Right. So logically, if the CHCHD4 protein is so mutated and unstable that it causes a catastrophic blackout of the power grid, you would assume its side hustles would completely crash too.
You would think so.
If the border inspector is missing, the iron sulfur exports shouldn't be leaving the city either. And if a cell believes it is starving for iron, it generally triggers massive metabolic chaos. But that didn't happen.
No, it didn't.
The global proteomics showed that, astoundingly, those secondary pathways were almost entirely spared. The cellular iron signaling was fine, calcium regulation was fine, the failure was surgically specific to the power grid.
It is a phenomenal observation,
And
it highlights a critical concept in biology, selective vulnerability. What this tells us is that a single mutation does not always break every single function of a protein equally.
So it's not all or nothing.
Right. Biology is not a binary switch of working or broken. The researchers hypothesize that the phenylalanine mutation destabilized the protein just enough to make it fail at its heaviest lifting, like importing the massive complex subunits required for the respiratory chain. But the tiny residual fraction of CHCHD4 that managed to fold and survive was apparently still functional enough to handle the lighter workload. It was enough to shuttle the smaller iron-sulfur clusters out of the mitochondria and keep the basic signaling pathways running.
I love that. It's like our border inspector is exhausted, injured, and working on zero sleep. They can still manage to wave the bicycles through the checkpoint, the iron-sulfur clusters, but they absolutely cannot muster the strength to process and inspect the massive 18-wheeler trucks carrying the turbine parts.
That is a perfect way to conceptualize selective vulnerability. The cell preserves its foundational signaling architecture even as its main energy production collapses.
Here's where it gets really interesting, though. This brings us to the broader implications of this entire deep dive, because this paper doesn't just solve a puzzle for one family. It establishes CHCHD4 deficiency as a brand new, exceedingly rare cause of severe mitochondrial disease and neurological regression in humans.
That's huge.
Before this publication, nobody had ever documented a patient with pathogenic variants in this specific gene.
And the importance of that for the medical genetics community cannot be overstated. Every single time researchers definitively link a novel gene to a human disease, they expand the diagnostic horizons for clinicians worldwide.
Which means more answers for patients.
Exactly. Tomorrow, a family could walk into a genetics clinic with a child suffering from an undiagnosed metabolic crisis. Because of this paper, CHCHD4 is now on the diagnostic checklist. It gives the families an answer to the excruciating mystery of what is happening to their child, and it provides researchers with a concrete biological target for developing future therapeutics.
However, the authors are highly rigorous in outlining the limitations of their discovery. because this is a single patient case study, you know, an N of one in the scientific literature, they cannot yet define the full natural history of this disease.
Like they need more cases.
They don't know the full spectrum of how it might present or progress differently in another child with a slightly different genetic background.
Furthermore, there is a lingering genetic question. Because the patient had a complete deletion from the mother and the missense mutation from the father, we still do not know if the father's specific C.5C to T mutation would cause a complete fatal loss of function if a patient happened to inherit two copies of that exact same typo.
Oh, that's a good point. We only saw it paired with the total deletion.
Exactly. The mandatory next step for the global scientific community is to scour genomic databases and clinical registries around the world to find more patients with variants in this newly implicated gene.
So to bring this all together, this landmark study identifies biallelic CHCHD4 variants as a novel cause of fatal mitochondrial disease, pinpointing the protein's absolutely critical role in importing the cellular power grid's machinery. By using lentiviral vectors and massive proteomics arrays, the researchers proved that restoring this specific import mechanism can rescue cellular energy production.
It's an incredible breakthrough.
It really is, opening entirely new windows into how we understand mitochondrial resilience and genetic diagnostics.
Which leaves us with a compelling, almost philosophical question about cellular biology to ponder. What did this mean for how our cells prioritize survival? Why does a struggling cell choose to preserve its iron signaling pathways while letting its main energy grid completely collapse?
This episode was based on an open access article under the CC BY 4.0 license. You can find a direct link to the paper and the license in our episode description. If you enjoyed this, follow or subscribe in your podcast app and leave a 5-star rating. If you'd like to support our work, use the donation link in the description. Now stay with us for an original track created especially for this episode and inspired by the article you've just heard about. Thanks for listening, and join us next time as we explore more science base by base. Settle the bill.